BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk on VCY America. And today we are going to be having a news roundup day, compiling stories from many, many different sources on a number of topics today. And friends, as we do, I trust that this will burden us as believers in Christ to share the good news of the gospel. We're living in a world of tragedy. We're living in a world of lies and deception. And we need to share the light of God's Word, the Bible. In Him is light, in Him is no darkness at all. And we know that men love darkness rather than light because, why? Their deeds are evil. And we see the woe that comes to us in the book of Isaiah, woe to those who call darkness for light and light for darkness. I mean, we see that taking place, and it's evident before our very eyes today. So this really ought to burden us to be that salt, to be the light in the society today, to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. Salvation to this land, to our nation, does not come through the White House. It does not come through the U.S. Capitol or our state houses. No, it's found in Jesus Christ. So our eyes need to be focused on Him, even amidst the trials, the tragedies, the struggles, the politics of our day today. Let's get right to the news, and certainly tragedy unfolding in Pensacola today. As Fox News reported, the gunman who opened fire this morning at the Naval Air Station in Pensacola, Florida, fatally shooting three people, has been identified as an aviation student from Saudi Arabia, as investigators are looking into whether the attack is terrorism-related. The gunman was confronted, taken out by a pair of responding officers. Two people were killed at the scene. A third victim died after being rushed to a local hospital. Seven others suffered injuries or are undergoing treatment. Mayor of Pensacola, Grover Robinson, told reporters during a press conference today, he said, "This is a tragic day for the city of Pensacola. We are a military town. Our hearts and prayers are connected to all those that serve us every single day. We will overcome this, but today this is certainly a tragic day." Again, the shooter has been identified as an aviation student from Saudi Arabia. Law enforcement officials briefed on the case identified the shooter to ABC News as Mohammed Al-Sharam Rani. And more information, no doubt, is going to continue to unfold. Well, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, and this is coming to us from CNSNews.com, gave an address to the Capitol the other morning. In signing the Declaration of Independence, she said, "Our founders invoked a firm reliance on divine providence. Democrats are prayerful that we would proceed in a manner worthy of our oath of office to support and defend the Constitution of the United States from all enemies, foreign and domestic, so help us God. Sadly, but with confidence and humility, with allegiance to our founders and a heart full of love for America, today I am asking our chairman to proceed with articles of impeachment." That was a statement from Nancy Pelosi. Newsmax.com also reports that she instructed the House Judiciary Committee to draft articles of impeachment against President Donald Trump over his effort to pressure Ukraine, they say, to investigate a political rival. And I'm quoting here from Nancy Pelosi saying, "The facts are uncontested. The president abused his power for his own personal political benefit at the expense of our national security by withholding military aid and a crucial Oval Office meeting in exchange for an announcement of an investigation into his political rival." But this is CNSNews.com saying 1 hour before Nancy Pelosi announced that she was calling for articles of impeachment against President Trump, the president on Thursday dared House Democrats to impeach him fast so that there can be a fair trial in the Senate and the country can get back to business. He said, we will have Schiff's, the Bidens, Pelosi, and many more testify and will reveal for the first time how corrupt our system really is. I was elected to clean the swamp, and that's what I am doing," the president added. Well, during a televised town hall, FoxNews.com reports that moderator Jake Tapper noted that polls in swing districts show that moderate voters have begun to oppose impeachment and asked whether Pelosi would regret the proceedings if they ultimately helped Trump win re-election. Pelosi insisted this isn't about politics at all. This is about patriotism. It's not about partisanship. She said it's about honoring our oath of office. This is the first president that has committed all of these things. As the constitutional expert said yesterday, well, one of them did not. Nobody has ever come close. Not Richard Nixon even came close to his dishonoring his own oath of office, said Nancy Pelosi. Interesting that one of the so-called experts that Nancy Pelosi was referring to that testified yesterday is one who had the audio recordings were found here recently, of which when she was walking by a Trump property, like a Trump hotel, she actually went across the street so she didn't have to pass in front of it. That tells you how much hatred and disdain that she has for President Trump. Now, Nancy Pelosi yesterday erupted. She was asked a question. She's just finishing her press conference, and a reporter asked her as she walked out of her regular Thursday news conference, "Do you hate the president?" Well, she stopped short, she grew angry, and then returned to the podium. I'd like you to hear the exchange that took place.
As I said,
thank you.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
Do you hate the president, Madam Speaker? Because
I don't hate anybody.
Representative Collins, reason I ask.
You don't hate anybody, not anybody in the world. Don't accuse me.
I did not accuse you. I asked a question. Representative Collins yesterday suggested that the Democrats are doing this simply because they don't like the guy.
I have nothing to do with
it. I think it's an important point.
I think the president is a coward when it comes to helping our kids who are afraid of gun violence. I think he is cruel when he doesn't deal with helping our dreamers, of which we're very proud. I think he's in denial about the climate crisis. However, that's about the election. This is about the election. Take it up in the election. This is about the Constitution of the United States and the facts that lead to the president's violation of his oath of office. And as a Catholic, I resent your using the word hate in a sentence that addresses me. I don't hate anyone. I was raised in a way that is full, a heart full of love, and always prayed for the president. And I still pray for the president. I pray for the president all the time. So don't mess with me when it comes to words like that.
Interesting. Just don't be a unborn baby in the womb because you might have a different outcome there. Okay, let's move on to townhall.com. Representative Doug Collins noted that there were no fact witnesses present for the first day of the Judiciary Committee hearing. Instead, the four people testifying on Wednesday were law professors. The American people are really going to look at this and say, huh? What are we doing? There's no fact witnesses planned for this committee, he said. Also from townhall.com, the writer Beth Bauman says that Representative Jim Banks on Wednesday sent a letter to Senate Judiciary Committee Chair Lindsey Graham asking him to subpoena various phone records. On page 153 of the Trump-Ukraine impeachment inquiry report produced by the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, we learned that the chairman, Adam Schiff, obtained personal phone records chronicling conversations between President Trump's personal lawyer, White House officials, a journalist, and top Republicans on the Intelligence Committee, including Representative Devin Nunes, Banks wrote in his letter. The public has a right to know with whom Adam Schiff has coordinated his impeachment effort and if America's national security is at risk in any way as a result of Representative Schiff's actions, Banks wrote. Further, coming from the Epoch Times, House Intelligence Committee ranking member Devin Nunes criticized the committee chairman, Adam Schiff, over the release of the call records of committee staffers, a journalist, and Nunes himself, saying it's a gross abuse of power for a congressman to go after his political opponents, staffers, and reporters in this way, but it's characteristic of the way Schiff has run the entire show, Nunes said. Over the course of impeachment probe, Schiff obtained the call records of Nunes, Republican committee staff members, two of President Donald Trump's personal attorneys, and an investigative journalist, according to the Democrats' impeachment report. And from CNSNews.com, Congressman Nunes says, quote, "I'm going to look at whatever legal remedies I have because I actually have some civil rights here, too, civil liberties," he had mentioned. Well, the from Breitbart, the House Judiciary Committee said yesterday it will hold its next impeachment inquiry hearing on Monday. That's the very same day that the Justice Department Inspector General's Russian probe report is scheduled for its release. In other news, LifeSiteNews.com says that the United States Senate voted 49-44 Wednesday to confirm conservative attorney Sarah Elizabeth Pitlick to the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Missouri. She serves as a special counsel with the Thomas More Society and has worked against pro-abortion laws. She is also part of the defense team for Center for Medical Progress, David DeLayden, in Planned Parenthood's case against him for exposing the abortion giant's sale of organs from aborted babies. So she's one of the defense attorneys for Mr. DeLayden, and now confirmed as a federal judge. Very interesting story there, as a number of judges just confirmed again this past week. A story from the Christian Post reporter says a former employee of one of China's largest tech firms has revealed how the communist regime is manipulating public opinion by monitoring citizens' mobile phones, blocking any words deemed sensitive to the state. What are some of those words? Like Almighty God. Mr. Li, a former employee of China Mobile Online Services Company, a subsidiary of China Mobile Limited, said if one says anything deemed unfavorable to the CCP, he or she will be punished. Every person is monitored and controlled under the pretext to crack down on harassment. Before resigning from his post, Mr. Li worked as a censor along with about 500 other employees. Religion-related words and phrases like Almighty God and Falun Gong are among words deemed sensitive. If any sensitive words are detected, the system would automatically intercept the information and user services would be deactivated instantly. Can you imagine being on your phone and telling somebody, you know, God is just mighty. Almighty God has done this, and have all of a sudden have your phone disconnect? Mr. Li continued, if users who want to reactivate the service, they have to go to a China Mobile Service Center with their ID card and write a statement promising never to share any sensitive information again. Several healthcare pieces here today. President Donald Trump taking steps to make healthcare prices more transparent for Americans. He's announcing two historic rules to make healthcare prices more transparent than ever before. Number one, the Department of Health and Human Services is finalizing a rule that will require hospitals to make prices publicly available online. And number two, the Trump administration is also proposing a rule to require insurance companies and group health plans to provide cost estimates to enrollees in advance of care. Together, these two rules represent the most aggressive actions taken by any administration to put healthcare price information in the hands of patients. I've got some more healthcare news that we're going to pick up after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. It's a Friday news roundup today. We'll be back in just 1 minute here on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, where do fingerprints come from?
Crisp fingerprints are unique for each individual, produced by nuances in the genetic code. Now, koala bears also have fingerprints which look surprisingly like human fingerprints, even though in evolution we're not closely related to the koala bears. These are much more human-like than are those pseudo-fingerprints of chimpanzees, which evolutionists think are our closest relative. And how can that be? Evolutionists conclude koala bears and humans evolved their fingerprints independently, a convenient non-answer to evidence which fits creation and not evolution. Chris, the evidence doesn't fit evolution because evolution isn't true. We were created in God's image, separate from the animals, just like it says back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
It's a news roundup day here today on Crosstalk, and sharing with you a variety of sources, a variety of stories, a variety of topics here today on the program, dealing with some healthcare issues right now. Drug makers and Canadian officials are pushing back against a proposal from President Trump that would allow Americans to buy cheaper medications from Canada, but there are no signs that President Trump is giving in, reports WesternJournal.com. Throughout his presidency, Donald Trump has talked about the need for lower prescription drug prices. And during a rally in Florida last month, he said consumers will see large savings once his plan takes effect. He tweeted out, "I will soon release a plan to let Florida and other states import prescription drugs that are much cheaper than what we have now. While we had the first prescription drug price decrease in 50 years, Americans still pay far too much for drugs. Other countries pay far less. That is wrong. We will soon be putting more options on the table." Coming from Family Research Council, the FRC and the Charlotte Lozier Institute announced the results of their sixth annual review of elective abortion coverage and individual health insurance plans offered on state exchanges under Obamacare. Some of their key findings for 2020 include that in eight states and the District of Columbia, 100% of individual plans on the exchange cover elective abortion. 100%. 26 states do not allow elective abortion coverage in plans offered on the state exchange. The number has not changed since that year. Of all the individual exchange plans in the 24 states and in the District of Columbia that allow abortion coverage, an estimated 777 plans cover elective abortion for the 2020 enrollment period. The Family Research Council Director of Life, Culture, and Women's Advocacy, Patrina Mosley, said that Obamacare allows health insurance plans purchased with federal subsidies to cover elective abortion. This violates the principle, the long-standing Hyde Amendment, that taxpayer dollars should not be entangled with the abortion industry. From LifeSiteNews.com, Westbrook, Texas has become the seventh city in the state to declare itself a sanctuary city for the unborn, banning abortion at all times and at all stages of pregnancy because it's an act of murder. Very interesting indeed. They are awaiting the decision of overturning a Roe v. Wade. Private enforcement would not have to wait for that, though. It would mean that any family connected to the abortion, to the aborted child, like aunts and uncles, cousins, grandparents, anybody else, could sue the abortionist for damages under this plan. New York State, this is from CNSNews.com, of all the 47 states that reported their annual abortion numbers to the Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, New York had the highest rate, ratio, and overall number of abortions, according to their study. Very interesting indeed what was learned through this study. In 2016, that's the year covered by this new CDC report, there were just over 623,000 abortions in the 47 states that reported their numbers. Few states did not report. But the abortion rate in those 47 states was 11.6 abortions per 1,000 women ages 15 to 44. That's 11.6 abortions per 1,000 women. However, in New York, it's 21.8 abortions per 1,000 women, nearly double. The abortion ratio in 47 states was 186 abortions per 1,000 live births. In New York, it's 373 abortions per live birth. Total number of babies killed in abortion in New York, 87,325. And tragic indeed. Tragic indeed. LifeNews.com is reporting Illinois is killing more babies in abortions after legalizing abortions up to birth. In June, their governor, J.B. Pritzker, signed into law allowing abortions for any reason up to birth and forcing every state insurance plan to cover them. Now the state legislature is considering a bill that would allow young teens to get secret abortions without a parent's knowledge or consent. Daisy Guerrero, manager of the Springfield Planned Parenthood, said that the Springfield office sees about 50 abortion patients a day compared to about 30 a day several years ago. Also, another interesting story from LifeNews.com. For the first time ever, the number of dogs in this country surpassed the number of children under 18. According to Statista, there are 90 million dogs in America today, up from just 68 million in the year 2000, and a higher percentage of American households own dogs than ever before. By contrast, there are just over 73 million children. In 1960, over 1 in 3 Americans were under the age of 18. According to government projections, by 2050, children will make up less than a quarter of the population. Used to be 1 in 3, 33%. It will be less than 25%. But Americans now have more dogs than kids because so few people are now having children. Series of legislators, both Republican and Democratic, Wednesday introduced legislation that would help families to offset expenses associated with having a new baby or adopting a child. The bill is known as the Advancing Support for Working Families Act, allowing families to offset the financial burdens associated with a new baby, like child care and baby supplies, by opting to advance up to $5,000 of their child tax credit. Families would be eligible for the first year of a child's life or the first year they adopt a child. Teleworkers would be able to obtain child care benefits while continuing to work from home while also taking care of their new child. Speaking of babies, this interesting headline that just came out from Pamela Geller today, Mohammed makes the list of the 10 most popular baby names in the United States for the first time. Raymond Ibrahim wrote that if Mohammed cannot beat the infidels on the battlefield, he'll outnumber them literally. Quoting Mohammed, most popular name for newborn boys in the Netherlands for the second year in a row is a title of respect report. Mohammed is apparently also the most popular name in England. In fact, Mohammed is one of the most popular names throughout Northwest Europe. While that may seem innocent enough, the fact is that many Muslims see their offspring as their contribution to the jihad, the struggle to make Islam supreme, since more numbers equate more influence and power. According to Baby Center's list of 100 most popular names for boys and girls in America, Sophia is still at the top of the list, while Liam is the number one boy's name. But there was a significant rise in Arabic names this year, for Aileya have replaced Mason, and Layla placing 10th on the list. We have Mohammed replacing Mason, and Aileya replacing Layla. And so we have two Arabic names now making the top 10, but Mohammed for the first time making top 10 in the United States. A matter of fact, from the Baby Center, babycenter.com, Mohammed, one of the most popular names in the world, has been a steady climber on the top names list over the years. While non-Muslim families have a seemingly limitless range of possible names to choose from, tradition is still very important for Muslim families, including the custom of naming a son after the prophet. Okay, let's go to another story here that came out from, I believe this was, Pamela Geller as well, and that is Ali Khorani of the Bronx, New York, was given 40 years in prison for providing material support to a designated foreign terrorist organization. While living in the U.S., he served as an operative of Hezbollah in order to help the foreign terrorist organization prepare for potential future attacks against the United States. Amazing. But you know what the headline was in the New York Times? And this is even more shocking. Their headline said this: a sleeper agent wanted to cooperate. He just got 40 years in prison. He's the victim rather than the one who is the perpetrating this violence against the United States. Okay, let's see. Also, from WND.com, the U.S. Supreme Court Monday heard arguments in the gun rights case that Democrats in Congress didn't want on the court's calendar. Congress members threatening the justices with political retribution, stacking the court with additional judges if they didn't kill the case. The justices, however, heard the case, which challenges a New York City law that forbids the transport of locked, unloaded handguns. The Second Amendment Foundation said it hopes that the court will confirm an expansion of the right to keep and bear arms that's protected by the Second Amendment. Also, we understand gun sales have been soaring as violent crime drops, ATF says, from the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. On the presidential race front, FoxNews.com, California Senator Kamala Harris on Tuesday announced that she's withdrawing from the race for the Democratic presidential nomination after failing to capitalize on early enthusiasm for her campaign, watching her polls number collapse. Western Journal says that her Real Clear Politics polling average had her languishing in sixth place with just 3.4% nationwide. From the ChristianHeadlines.com, new Democratic presidential candidate Michael Bloomberg, well known for his advocacy of abortion rights. And by the way, his nonprofit Bloomberg Family Foundation donating over $13 million, nearly $14 million to Planned Parenthood Federation of America between 2014 and 2017, according to research by Newsbusters. He entered the race and is fifth place, trails only Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, Pete Buttigieg. He has also donated to Emily's List, an organization that supports pro-choice Democratic female candidates. He said, quote, "To me, it's very simple. A woman's right to choose is a fundamental American right, and it's the law of the land," he said at a 2018 Emily's List luncheon. Also, from townhall.com, Michael Bloomberg rolled out his gun control plan in Aurora, Colorado. His plan includes universal background checks, banning, quote, assault weapons and high-capacity magazines, raising the age to purchase any type of firearm to the age of 21, implementing a nationwide permitting system, banning all guns in K-12 schools, colleges, and universities, except for law enforcement. He's got some other ideas, too. He said, "I know critics will say that Americans shouldn't need a permit to exercise their constitutional rights, but voting is a constitutional right, and we require people to register," he said. Elizabeth Warren, FreeBeacon.com, reports that she plans to be the last person elected president by the Electoral College. "My goal is to get elected and then to be the last American president elected by the Electoral College. I want the second term to be that I got elected by direct vote." She plans to end the Electoral College by the year 2024. By the way, the Electoral College spelled out in the Constitution. So the Constitution would have to be amended. That would require 2/3 of the House of Representatives and the Senate, 3/4 of the states. Or the could also eliminate the Electoral College. The states could by agreeing not to send electors there. But she pledges to have that done by her so-called re-election bid. Also, we have here from, Elizabeth Warren, LGBTQ Americans' top candidate, according to a new poll from YouGov and Out magazine. In the poll, 31% of LGBTQ likely voters said they support Warren in the 2020 Democratic presidential race. LifeNews.com, Democratic presidential candidates, including Elizabeth Warren, Pete Buttigieg, want to remove safeguards on dangerous abortion drugs and allow them to be sold over the counter. This would be a major leap from the current policy, which restricts the drugs available even by prescription and would require multiple legal and regulatory changes. But if enacted, the New York survey noted that it would make it much harder to effectively ban abortions. We're going to take a quick break. I'm going to have a few more stories to share following the break, and then we'll be opening phone lines to let you comment on these and other current event news stories. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
VCY invites you to obtain an audio recording of the Gospel according to John as narrated by Brad Canterbury.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
John's Gospel presenting the words of Jesus, the way of salvation.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever...
You can share this as a gift or for listening over and over on your daily commute. VCY America is making available this narrated Gospel of John on 2 CDs for a donation of $12. Call during business hours 1-800-729-9829. That's 800-729-9829.
But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. More stories in time, it appears once again on the broadcast. I'd like to share a few more issues with you, though, and then we'll give you opportunity to call in later on the program. From LifeNews.com, Elizabeth Warren continued to show her devotion to the abortion industry Monday by promising to wear a pink Planned Parenthood scarf to the inauguration if she wins the presidency. From ChristianNews.com, we find the ACLU tweeting out, for International Men's Day, transgenders who get pregnant and give birth are men. Yeah, the ACLU recently posted a tweet supportive of women who identify as men in recognition of International Men's Day. Here we have a ChristianNews.net, a pastor in England says that he was hounded out of his caretaker job at a primary school over a tweet in which he stated that Christians shouldn't support or participate in pride events and that such festivities are inappropriate for children. He's a pastor, and he was working at a primary school. He sent out a tweet, said that Christians should not support or participate in pride events and that they're inappropriate for children. He's pastor of the New Connections Church in Ely, Keith Walters is his name. A reminder that Christians should not support or attend LGBTQ Pride Month events held in June. They promote a culture and encourage activities that are contrary to Christian faith and morals. They are especially harmful for children, he wrote. Soon after publishing the statement, he received a tweet from a journalist who accused him of attacking homosexuals. The matter was then published in the Cambridge Evening News. Funeral directors arrived at his door advising his wife that they were there to arrange his funeral. He was also contacted by real estate agents who stated that he would be leaving in the area in a hurry. Fearing for his safety and that of his family, he deleted the post. Nonetheless, he was soon told by the primary school where he was employed that he was being placed under investigation as it had received complaints, being advised that he had brought the school into disrepute and warned by the head teacher that he had violated the school's code of conduct. He realized he could no longer serve both as a pastor and a caretaker at the primary school, so consequently resigned, has now decided to take the matter to court. Warning against participating in pride events? Sorry, you're not tolerating. I mean, to threaten his life? LifeSiteNews.com also tells us a major LGBT lobbying group has produced, this is from the UK, has produced sweeping guidelines for British schools designed to indoctrinate children beginning at age 5 in every primary school subject area and in every grade level by embedding gay, lesbian, transgender themes and examples. The voluntary guidance authored by Stonewall, an LGBT lobbying group roughly equivalent to the Human Rights Campaign in the U.S., sponsored by the Government Equalities Office and Pearson, a UK-based education assessment and publication powerhouse using a £1 million grant awarded to LGBT organizations, according to a report in the Sunday Times. The effort is timed to coincide with the new relationships and sex education courses scheduled to take effect in September of 2020. UK schools directed to massively incorporate gay, trans themes for kids as young as 5, reports LifeSiteNews.com. Let's look at what's happening here in the States. ChristianNews.net tells us a lesbian woman who allegedly was expelled from Fuller Theological Seminary after it was discovered that she was, quote, married, end of quote, to another woman, has filed suit accusing the educational institution of violating federal civil rights law prohibiting discrimination. Joanna Maxson of Fort Worth, Texas, working toward her Master of Arts in Theology degree when she received a letter advising that she would be dismissed. She had applied for financial aid, submitting a copy of her 2016 tax returns, and it was noticed that she was in a same-sex, quote, marriage. For Fuller Theological Seminary prohibits homosexual forms of explicit sexual conduct, according to the Christian Post. So a woman who is, and I put in quotes, married, another woman sues after being expelled from a theological seminary. Troubling story from LifeSiteNews.com as the Chick-fil-A matter continues on. One of the organizations Chick-fil-A now funds, Covenant House, has hosted Drag Queen Story Hour events that feature adult cross-dressers reading to children. The Covenant House, New York, provides community space to host events in which adult cross-dressers read to children about intersectionality and learning to see beyond the pink and blue gender binary, according to the organization's own website. Past Drag Queen Story Hour events have been controversial for instances of drag queens teaching kids to all different kinds of activities, and I'm not even going to get into those issues, but truly troubling indeed. And 49, this is a Daily Signal reporting that 49 conservative leaders, pro-life, pro-family organizations, sent a letter to Chick-fil-A asking them to reconsider their decision. And by the way, now that it appears that Chick-fil-A has caved, the next target is the Hallmark Channel. The Hallmark Channel. The next Chick-fil-A, Hallmark Channel CEO signals openness to gay Christian films is the headline on LifeSiteNews.com. And it appears that the Hallmark Channel that makes the Christmas films and relationships are now going to be considering homosexual characters have been targeted. Bill Abbott, CEO of Hallmark parent Crown Media Family Network, said in a recent interview that Hallmark differentiates itself from its competition because its content is relentlessly positive, family-friendly, always appropriate for all members of the family. He explained that viewers can feel comfortable watching Hallmark movies without having to run for the remote because they're of inappropriate scenes. Despite having built a huge audience by providing a reliable, safe refuge for family viewing, the head of Hallmark's parent company indicated that Hallmark is open to doing any type of movie, including with gay leads, according to a Hollywood Reporter interview. We're open to really any type of movie of any type of relationship, declared Abbott. CEO said, in terms of broadening out the demographic, it's something we're always thinking about, always considering. I'd like to open our phone lines here today on Crosstalk. I've covered a number of issues, but if you want to comment on these or other news-related issues, our telephone number 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Story has come out here from, Aaron Donnelly has written it, and trying to find the source of the story. I believe it was perhaps Yahoo, a public library in West Virginia, pulling a LGBT book from their library after a pastor voiced objection there. Also, the world's first gender detransition conference. That's women expressing regret over drugs and mutilating their bodies. The first one was held, a crowd of 200 people turned out for the world's first gender detransition conference. It was held in Manchester, England, November 30th. The event included a panel of medical and psychological health experts, as well as young women who are detransitioning from attempts to make themselves male. Dr. David Bell, a consultant psychiatrist in the Adult Department of London's Tavistock Center, said he doesn't believe that gender reassignment clinics do follow-up checks on their patients. He also remarked that the term puberty blockers for the powerful drugs given to children to delay the onset of puberty is misleading. He believes that the drugs probably have physiological consequences beyond delaying puberty, saying the lack of long-term evidence is the biggest issue in this field. Let's go to Wisconsin Rapids. We have Keith calling in. Keith, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. Yes, there was a comment made about the reduction in children nationally in our country. And yes, I just wanted to make the statement, abortion is responsible for that.
Yep, we've killed millions of babies, over 61 million abortions since Roe v. Wade.
Absolutely. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for your call, Keith. Let's go to Frida calling in from Walla Walla, Washington. You're on the air. Hello, Frida.
Thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I wanted to tell you that you were discussing Hallmark and how they felt they should start showing those types of movies. They are showing them. That's the one channel that we've enjoyed watching, and I've noticed lately, just a couple of nights ago, they had one of their movies on where there was two men married and raising a child, a daughter, and it was in the program.
Thank you, Frieda. It's certainly troubling to see the direction the culture is going, but it shows the depravity of man is great.
Yes, it does, and it's sad.
Yeah, it is indeed. And indeed, Jesus is the answer. The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? Certainly, we need to come to know the creator of this world, who designed male and female, who designed marriage as between a man and a woman. Taking your calls here today on Crosstalk, our number 800-733-9829, Charleston, Illinois. Jim, you're on the air.
Yes, I was saddened to hear the details of the number of dogs versus children. Could you enlighten me again with the numbers again? I missed that part.
Well, tell you what, I'm going to try and locate that. I've got a huge stack of stories here.
I'm thinking of 70 million dogs versus 63 million children. Is that about right?
Let me find out here. Okay, here we go.
There were just under 18.
Yeah, okay. 18. For the first time, the number of dogs in the country surpassed the number of children under 18. According to Statista, there are 90 million dogs in America today, and that's just over 73 million children.
Wow. What a sad statement for our day.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for all that you do, and we pray that God will turn the tide in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you for the call here today. Our number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. By the way, it's more and more stories are coming out about transsexuals speaking out over their regret in the surgeries that they had done. OneNewsNow.com, the number of natural-born women having surgery, taking hormone therapy to appear as men, end up returning to identifying as women continues to rise. One female who returned to her lifestyle as a woman after living nearly two decades as a man found herself in a dilemma when she realized she had made the biggest mistake of her life, saying, "This was a mistake that should never have happened. How do I go back to being the Debbie that I was?" Debbie, a biological woman, pondered in an interview with BBC News. We're seeing more and more stories that are coming out of people who have regretted that. Of course, they've given way to the tide of our times and the confusion that's being placed upon them by counselors. You know, they put a ban on so-called conversion therapy. You can only affirm somebody in their dysphoria, and now we are seeing the outcome. Let's go to Pennsylvania. Dolores is calling. You're on the air.
Thank you. I was calling also about the Hallmark. I have very few stations to watch, and that the Hallmark Channel is one of them. And the woman that called previously, I saw the same thing. I happened to just catch that. It was brief, but it was there that there were two men who were the fathers of this child, married. But also I've noticed more and more over the last maybe two or three years, they're also showing these terrible, disgusting dresses with the women's dresses are cut down to the navel practically on their channel, and I think that is so disgusting. You know, there is a Hallmark complaint board online that people can go and write their views and opinions. I don't know if anybody reads it, where it matters. I should think they would. But I think that the Hallmark Channel has been falling fast. I'm very disappointed in it.
Thank you for taking time to express your thoughts today. We're up against a break. We will be back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. There is indeed an information warfare going on in the United States of America to change the worldview and the values and the conduct of Americans. This is being done in many ways. One is to take American values and make them un-American, to define them as being hateful, racist, bigoted. There was a time when all Americans, regardless of race, color, creed, or political affiliation, would agree on set American values. We agreed there were certain values that were absolutely necessary to maintain our constitutional republic. Those values must be destroyed in the hearts and minds of Americans if our constitutional republic is to be destroyed. Thus, American values are now being redefined as conservative values, Christian values, racist values. This is how you destroy a nation. Remove its values from the common playing field.
It's a news roundup day here today on Crosstalk. Our number is 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Let's go to West Dallas, Wisconsin. Bob, you're on the air.
Yes, the way we can protect our American values is get out and let our voices be heard. I notice a lack of people attending the city halls where there's TV and their voice can be carried and they can be heard. I see everybody sitting home and doing nothing. And my reason I'm calling, urging people to get out of their houses. They want changes. Go out and do something. Don't just sit home and let it happen.
Okay. Thank you, Bob.
Sure.
We've got John in Colorado. You're on the air.
Thank you, Jim, for letting me come on there. I was just going to say that this is just one of the things the Lord said in His Word. In the last days, there will be a great, great falling away, and this is exactly what we're doing. So the good Christian people better get on their knees and start praying for this nation, because we are just about 30 seconds away from God's appearing. Hmm. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you for your comments today. Russell in Salina, Kansas, you're on the air.
Yes, I heard today on the news that Wausau, I believe it was Wausau, Wisconsin, was outlawing snowball throwing. And I just had a comment thinking they ought to outlaw the snowflakes instead of the snowballs. Thank you.
Okay. I hadn't heard that yet, but thank you for that. Well, global warming. Okay, let's move on. Ronnie in Moorhead, Kentucky, you're on the air.
Yeah, I was calling about the amount of children we have in our nation. The number's been dwindling. And I'd have to say, with the government being as corrupt as it is in today's world, and we just don't have the finances to raise children in such a corrupt world. And, well, that's pretty much all I got to say about that. Mm-hmm. And Hallmark, having the gays on TV, I disagree with that. It shouldn't be allowed on any channel. But that's just my personal thought.
Okay, thank you for your thoughts. And indeed, according to the story there, they're open to the ideas, all kinds of relationships. And I'm wondering how many people will respond to Hallmark and let them know your position on it. Trish is calling from Clinton, Illinois. You're on the air.
Hi. My comment is just on sort of on the Hallmark. I mean, I can agree with people being upset about the decline, but at the same time, why are we just sitting in our homes watching TV? Why don't we get out into the communities and make a difference, especially for the children? They've got so much to work against in this world, and unless we, you know, are out there, the Christian community being there for the children, then they're going to be immersed by the other communities that are out there, the LGBT and everybody else. So let's not worry about the TV. Just turn it off. Cancel your cable and get out and get involved.
Thank you, Trish. Appreciate your comments. Let's go to Tennessee. Merle, you're on the air.
Jim, we must work while it is still day, because Jesus said the night cometh when no man can work. Darkness is increasing across the land, and we can't sit back idly by. We have got to work while it is still day. And appreciate all you do, Jim.
Thank you, Merle. Grace in Erie, Pennsylvania. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Hi there. I'm Grace, and I just want to let you know that you can look it up on Google to make a petition against the LGBT, or the gay people, to be on Hallmark. So it's possible to do that.
Okay. Thank you, Grace. Jacob is calling in from Bethany, Missouri. Jacob, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. I'm a first-time caller. I wanted to first say I appreciate all you do, and I wanted to comment about, you're talking about the gays and television earlier, and I wanted to mention that a few weeks ago my pastor preached a sermon on gays, and a church member commented that you might get shot if you do that, and he almost did get shot in that service. I did want to mention that in case anyone commented on that.
Thank you, Jacob, for your call here today. I mean, we've seen the hostility against anyone. I mean, look at the, as we mentioned, the pastor who also worked in a school who had sent out a tweet saying not to participate in gay pride events and how his life was threatened as a result. I've got another story here, very interesting, especially this season of the year, from FoxNews.com. The principal of an elementary school in England has banned students from sending Christmas cards to fellow students, claiming that the festive tradition is bad for the planet. Jonathan Mason of Belton Lane Primary School in Lincolnshire claimed in a letter to parents that many students approached him with concerns about the impact of sending Christmas cards on the environment. Throughout the world, we send enough Christmas cards that if we place them alongside each other, they'd cover the world circumference 500 times, he wrote, according to Sky News. The manufacture of Christmas cards is contributing to our ever-growing carbon emissions. In order to be environmentally friendly in school, we will not be having a post box for Christmas cards from this year onwards. Isn't that something? No Christmas cards because of the carbon footprint that they're leaving. Also, on another Christmas-related story here today from the Pacific Justice Institute, and this ends with some good news in that regard, but a school in Northern California has reversed course after initially declaring Joy to the World unacceptable for a student piano performance. The Benzo family reached out to Pacific Justice Institute after their 13-year-old daughter, Brooklyn's musical choice, was rejected by her educational specialist at South Sutter Charter School. The reason? The specialist who oversees the independent study charter school students said that the classic carol was not acceptable because of its religious content. It was suggested that Jingle Bells should be performed instead because it's more secular. Well, at first, their mom thought that there must be some mistake. After all, Joy to the World, celebrating its 300th anniversary this year, this article says, was one of the most iconic songs of the Christmas season. In follow-up emails, those school officials said they must err on the side of caution and pointed to words in the song like Savior and Heaven in the carol that they deemed problematic. But the Benzels were floored. For one thing, this is a piano performance, and it would not actually include the lyrics of Joy to the World. It was purely instrumental. Moreover, the performance would have not even taken place at the school. It was to be performed at a retirement home for the enjoyment of elderly residents. A recording would then be submitted as part of the Brooklyn's independent study portfolio. Well, the Benzel family contacted Pacific Justice Institute. They called the school, spoke with the school's general counsel, prepared a legal demand letter to highlight the student free speech, and the school has overturned their decision. Isn't it amazing what we go through? But I say this Christmas season, let's let joy proceed from our heart. Indeed, the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. That's what Christmas is all about.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.